Welcome to the FTS BetSlip Podcast Mindset Series. The aim of these episodes of the FTS BetSlip Podcast is to build up a library of sound mindset advice that you can access anywhere and use to help you on your betting and trading journey. If you are new to this Mindset Series of podcasts, then please make sure you go back and catch up on any previous episodes that you may have missed. Each podcast will also have a written blog version to go alongside it. That is on our website, ftsincome.co.uk. And some of the episodes will also have an accompanying YouTube video on the FTS Income channel. So please make sure you're subscribed to that so that you don't miss any of the informative videos. Good luck, and I hope to take you on a profitable journey with your betting and trading activities. One thing, if you do enjoy these podcasts, please consider leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. Hello, and in this one I want to kind of continue on from episode 14. So the last episode, that's episode 14, Variants and Emotions. If you haven't listened to that one, then please go back to it. Go back to number one if you haven't listened to that and start from the beginning. But I want to sort of carry on this theme of variants. Look a little bit more at, you know, the theory, because I've had emails from people, which I'll come to in a minute, where people just, you know, I touched on it last week. If something wins, bet every bet, man up and go for it, which I think is arguably some of the worst advice that you could give somebody. and I've had other questions, and that's where I'm going to start. So from episode 14, a question came out. Good pod this week, just caught up with it. Obviously, there is no set time, but how long can variance last in set and forget strategies? And at what point do you think variance is actually a flawed system? So the first thing is how you put that system together. And I've talked about this, where you find it, not over filtering, not back fitting to get things to work. Try and remove any concepts of belief. A lot of people bet what they want to happen as opposed to what actually does happen and what plays out in front of you. So there's sort of many elements to this. The first is, how is that system put together? So that would be, I would be starting block. And then the information on that system. So this is where we need the information on strike rates. And I've done a video this morning on YouTube. Funnily enough, if you go to the YouTube channel, there's a video, FTS Income YouTube channel, there's a video there called Losing Runs. There's a video which really, it's built to go with episode one of this, but as I say, these things all meld into one. Watch that video. So we've got to understand the system. We have to understand everything behind it. So we've got to understand the strike rate. We've got to understand the odds we're betting at. We've got to understand what can happen, and that's the key part of it. We need, you know, we've got software with FTS Ultimate, Excel sheets and things which tell you drawdowns, longest losing runs, and those sort of things. And obviously what people see is they'll get a longest losing run, and let's say it's 9, or they'll get a drawdown of, let's say, 20 points, and that's what's happened in the past, and they kind of take that as, well, that's what's happened in the past, and that's it. And I say to everybody, if you, there's hours of footage of me saying, I take those numbers and I'll treble or quadruple them. Because if that can happen, it can actually get worse. And in the video I've made this morning, I've talked about where I've basically copied a scenario from a longest losing run table, which has mirrored exactly what happens. Now, the longest losing run table goes up to 5,000 on the website, episode one of this. You can go to the written blog version of it. And there's a table there of estimated longest losing runs, and it goes up to if you had 5,000 bets. And for me, the video I did this morning was betting at odds of 2.5, 40%. And 5,000 bets, you can expect to get 17, longest losing run of 17. I've actually got a sheet up to 9,000 now, if you'd had 9,000 bets, if you bet every outcome, and the longest losing run is 20. So it's progressed exactly how it should. The biggest problem for most guys that I deal with is, one, they don't have any idea of that number in the first place. So for the odds you're betting at, what is the estimated losing run? Not what losing run you've seen, that's one part of it. What's the losing run I've seen? That's one bit of knowledge you've got to have. The second bit of knowledge you've got to have is, what actually mathematically is likely to happen? Because the one thing that I guarantee you, it will happen. I can guarantee it. It is exactly like the people who say you can't have 20 blacks on the spot on a roulette wheel. Yes, you can. If you spin it enough times, that is exactly what will happen. You might walk into a casino for one day and not see it, but over the life of that wheel spinning, that is exactly what will happen at some stage. And I have seen it because I spent a lot of time in Vegas. So I've seen a board of all blacks and a board of all reds. And I've seen people throw in their money. Oh, it's got to be red next time. It's got to be red next. No, it hasn't. So you've got to understand those two things. You've got to understand what you've done is fine, but what is likely to happen. Now, the reality and the harsh reality, and I've always been a very straight speaker, is most people don't like when they get to the figure that has happened before. Most people have no idea what can happen, and absolutely nigh on 99.9% don't accept either, so they get halfway to these numbers and they give up anyway. So the question that I was asked about the variance is most people don't ever get to see it because they make their judgments, they change what they're doing, they panic, they drop out, this, that and the other. So that's the first part of information that we need. What can happen? Because then things will go up and down. That is just natural variance. These estimated longest losing runs, and they can only be estimated, but they're pretty accurate on the algorithm that's in the sheet that I did that built that. In that video, as I say, I've shown proof kind of bears it out at odds of 2.5. So that's the first point. So you've got to understand that. What odds am I betting at? What's my estimated losing run? What is the actual longest losing run? What's the drawdown? And they're only guided numbers, but most people don't like to get to them. And if they're halfway to them, they tend to give up. Secondly, then, is right. How do I check this? How do I check this and find out if it's a flawed system? Right, so what are we betting at? So the first thing is to check your average odds. Am I still getting and betting at the average odds? Is my volume of bets changed? So if I was betting between 4 and 6 and all of a sudden I'm getting 50% less bets, that must mean the criteria I've used has moved. That market's moved because these bets aren't now falling in 4 and 6. The market might have moved them out to 6.57. So for example, let's say you were laying over 3.5 goals and over the last 2-3 years you've done really well. This year it's more of a struggle. Only two things can happen. At the minute, more games are having goals, so that will come back to normal. So we can check that. We can check that. We can, you know, I've done podcasts and YouTubes on this. We can check the number of goals, and we don't take a short-term view. Unfortunately, everybody decides after 2 weeks, they see 3 goals, you know, 3 games have 5 goals. Oh, the whole world's changed. 4 games have 7 minutes of, because we look at tend to look at things in very small window lenses. So we can check that information. If it is the fact that games are now generating more goals, what is going to happen? Prices will move. So where you were laying games at maybe 4, the price for 3.5 goals is going to shorten. They're going to shift out of your bracket. So what's going to happen is you're going to have less bets. So you can check all this information. So you can check that. You can check your strike rate. Because obviously, is my strike rate up or down? That's a big thing. Right, and we can start to again identify that. Is it the number of bets? Is it the odds moving? Is football actually changing? So all along the way, if you've built a sound system, you can check it. You can check it against, right, what's the longest losing run I've had? What's the biggest drawdown I had? What's the estimated losing run that I can expect and almost certainly will happen? What drawdown would that bring if that happens? You can calculate all that from your average prices. So I can calculate that. Right, how many bets am I having? Has that changed? What's the average price I'm betting at? If the average price that you're betting at has fundamentally changed, that your losers are costing you more money or your winners aren't winning you enough money, that we can investigate. Again, why has that price changed? Has something changed in that market over a period of time, not over 2 weeks, a period of time to do it? How many goals are these games averaging? Or how many home wins? What's my strike rate like? So all these things can be checked. It takes a bit of work. It takes a bit of time. But you've got all the information there. But it all starts at the beginning of building a solid system, setting a bank up. All the stuff we've talked about from episodes 1 through to 14. Building a solid system, setting a bank up, understanding what has happened and understanding what can happen. And then riding that out. And that, unfortunately, is the harsh reality of it. You do have to ride it out. And I've talked about things like this. If you're living on every result, you know, you're watching every week, and I've seen again a couple this week, and you're living this every single result, and I don't know half the results of the stuff I bet until days after or the day after. Kev, who does the bets, he does it a couple of weeks later. He doesn't even bother. If you're living it permanently, all you're doing is beating yourself up all the time. You're giving yourself massive highs when you win, massive lows when you go down, high, low, all the time, putting yourself through some form of mental torture that you don't need to. And then that comes down to me for, why are you doing it? I bet purely to make money. There are people, I understand, who bet for entertainment. If you're betting for entertainment, you're probably better just picking something like a weekend acca and doing that and enjoying it, and not putting yourself through this charade of, I actually want to do this properly. Because I think that's one of the biggest disappointments for me in running FTS is I deal with hundreds, you know, over the years it's been thousands of people, but hundreds of people that I deal with. And if I put out a question in the chat group and say, right, who really wants to do this properly? I'll get a load of positives. Yeah, I want to. Would you be willing to pay for it? No. So there's the stop. You don't really want to do it properly, because if I wanted to learn something properly, I'd be happy to pay for it. Yeah, no, I want you to give it all for nothing. And I'm going to cover that in the live session that I do this evening. I'm going to talk about that because I've had that exact query. This ridiculous notion that it doesn't, I don't want to go make these pods about this, but this ridiculous notion that you should do everything for nothing for people is really, really bizarre. I just find it absolutely staggering. And the counter argument is, well, if you make money at it, mate, it doesn't matter, you should give it to us. Well, no, that's not really how the whole world works, is it? I give my time, and plenty of time, and hours of podcasts, YouTubes, hours, you know, add it up, 2, 3, 4 months of my life, just given, devoted to trying to help people for nothing. So there's plenty out there, and there's plenty of stuff. So the reality is, do you want to do it? And if you don't, genuinely, you'd probably just be better picking four teams on a Saturday morning and doing an acca. But if you do want to do it, then you've got to start to arm yourself with this information. So we can do all that. We can go and we can examine our system. We can. Well, the more you understand about the system, the more you'll understand what's happening, and then you can answer your question: is it variance or is it a flawed system? Because you've got those checkpoints: strike rate, has the market changed, average odds, are my winners costing me making me less, are my losers costing me more if you're laying, all these sort of things. You've got those checkpoints you can go through. What's actually happening in football, try and understand a bit about that. And that's why I say to people, automation's great, but it doesn't teach you about markets. It doesn't teach you about betting, just whacking things in a bot. I've got automation, but I traded 3 years manually, solid, every single day of my life, traded, bang, bang, bang. Learned so much about markets, how they work, what's happened. I still enjoy that now because I don't want to. Whilst it's great, and I could walk away from trading and never have to do anything again, just leave bots running and make money. That doesn't educate me in any way, shape or form. And there's a lot of things in life more important than money, trust me. And I like the education. I like to understand what's going on. It's what enables me to evolve and move and change and stay ahead. I like that challenge. Mentally, I enjoy that challenge of, can I win this way? And I want to do it like that and that. And of course, I do everything long-winded. If you speak to the people who work with me, I'm far too long-winded. There's bits I could make quicker. Some would say it's almost chaotic for them. But I quite like that because I'm learning all the time. And I like to absorb the knowledge and learn. So we've got that, but you've got those checks and balances. The second part of that, once you've got all this information, and this touches more on last week, another question I was asked, like, is you don't have to do everything. I very much separate my stuff out. So if I've got a fixed odds system, I will now tend to bot it, so I don't have to worry about putting the bets on, and I don't have to worry about the runs, and I can look and check it, and as long as the bots function, and all I do is quickly check every morning that the bots are running, and then I close it and off I go. So as long as I've got that going, I'm not living every result, and it'll do its ups and downs, and it'll come along. And I have stuff that wins and stands still. You know, some of it I share with people, some that stood still for a year, some that's had a massive drip, and then it's taken a year and a bit to get back. All those sort of things, but I'm not living it every day. I'm literally post the bets, put them in a bot, let it go. So I've got that stuff. And I do think if you bet fixed odds, you've got to bet every single bet. So you do, again, everything then comes down to your setup. Your mental approach to it is pointless setting yourself up and saying, I'm going to do that and I'm going to bet every single bet, if you are going to panic at the first time that things start to go wrong. And I had an interesting text yesterday, actually, from somebody who, we were talking about my method of putting stakes up. So fixed odds systems, when my bank goes up 50%, I put my stakes up 50%. And if I go back down, I don't put them up. And somebody emailed me very honestly and they said, I've done that a couple of times, but they've had a real bad run of losers. And it wasn't very pleasant for them. So they don't put them up 50%. They just put them up 10% or 20%. And I just said to them, if that's your plan, that's what suits you. And this is what I mean about it's got to suit you. Stick to that. I'm not going to tell you put stakes up 50% if a runner loses is going to upset you and cause you angst and grief. And because that's not what it's about. You put your head on the pillow and, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. It's not going anywhere. There's no, if people took it as a marathon, not a sprint, and forgot this desire to win fortunes. If you win small amounts and you keep compounding it, so go back, you know, two episodes of this, compounding it, it soon takes off for you. So, but I do believe if you're going to do fixed odds, you've got to do every bet. And there, without doubt, automation can help, because obviously you don't have to sit at your computer all day long, and it does help with this checking of results and things. And what I really struggle to understand is people who automate everything, because the reason you're automating everything is so you don't have to have that involvement, but they automate it and then they check every result and they're actually following the games live. I just find it absolutely bizarre. I really do, and I it just doesn't compute with me why you'd want to put yourself through that. And obviously there's people who say to me, well, no, I like doing it. That's absolutely fine. It doesn't compute with me why you would want to do that. And my experience is that people who live every result tend to not do very well. That's my experience. People who tend to do that, because the emotional beat up that you're taking and the highs and lows in anything in life, I think, aren't necessarily good for you. We then come on to trading. And so I do all my fixed odds stuff. Most of it's done Friday. Out it goes. I've got some systems I run daily, laying under 1.5, stuff like that, which I just do it in the morning, put them on the bot, don't need to worry about them. And then I build a trading list. So I've got a trading list that I build, and that list might start at 7 in the morning, and it might not end till 9 o'clock at night. And I am 52 years of age. I love what I do. I'm good at what I do, but I do not want to sit there on a weekend at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock at night. And I did a seminar in 2019. I said to people, I try and avoid 3 o'clock. I got absolute pelters for it. Try and avoid 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Got absolute pelters for it. Why would you avoid 3 o'clock on a Saturday? This is absolute nonsense. Because there's too much going on. I like to try and win my money prior to 3 o'clock, and then I can look at the 3 o'clock games with a smile on my face and a cup of tea, and I'm not sweating and that. Most people aren't capable of the volume of stuff that they try and put themselves through. And you see it with the horse racing boys when the markets get, you know, racing runs behind, it affects their rhythm. You've got to be organised and plan what you're doing. So for me, I take that trading list. I then look down that trading list and go, where's a good selection of games together that maybe are across three or four methods? And I'm going to trade those. And if I win a good few quid, I'm probably not going to do any more. And that's where I've got myself to now. And some people don't understand that, and people don't want to understand it, because it doesn't, you know, again, it's away from the theory of if you got an edge, do everything. I don't want to sit there all day. And then that brings in, what if you lose? What if you lose? Right, okay. Well, firstly, I'm confident that I can duck and dive in my methods and win. You know, it's a bit like saying that every time I jump on, I'm going to lose. Of course I'm not. But then you've just got to manage that loss. So what I would do, and I've got a variety of methods. Let's say I went in and I did four trades, and I never like to be involved in more than two or three at the same time. So that, for example, is why I don't do 3 o'clock. I don't want eight games that I've got to be in. No matter how good software like BetAngel and that is, I don't want to put myself through that. And this is what I'm saying. That's me. What I'm saying isn't what you have to do. It's what I want to do and how I want to operate. And it works for me. And no, but nobody has got any right to tell me whether I'm right or wrong. That's what works for me. And you guys have to do what works for you and what you want to do. And if you want to sit there like a maniac trading games all day long, do it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. What I'm going to say to you is make sure you've got a plan to manage it all. And most people's bad days come from the losing runs start to get away from them, or they win a few quid early on and give it all back. And I think that's the one that really dents people. I was £200 up at 2 o'clock, and then I got to 5 o'clock and I was £100 down. If only I'd stopped. Well, stop. There's nothing wrong with it. I go back to what I said to the guys last week who stopped at 4 points. What you've got to have is a plan. You've got to go into those and say, all you're doing now is controlling your variance. You're controlling what you want to do. I'm going to go into it. Firstly, you've got to have a sound selection method. Then you've got to build a list. So you've got, that's your trading plan, and I've done videos on this. That's my list. That's what I'm going to stick to. Then you've got to accept the results of the games that you trade. As long as you've stuck to that plan, so as long as you have executed those trades, go back to the episode on execution, as you want to, and you don't get carried away by the starlights of games going on elsewhere, or somebody posting in a room what they're doing, or Twitter, whatever it may be, TikTok these days, Instagram, whatever it may be that people are shoving down your throat 24/7, one of the great problems of the world. As long as you don't get all that, and you stick to your plan, then there is no right or wrong. You've got a sound method, you've got a sound way of trading, you've got a trading plan, you're going to stick to it. So I can pick my times. And what I'll do, let's say I go on and I'm going to do the Bundesliga 2 games, maybe a Spanish game, Dutch game, whatever, on a Saturday at 12, maybe Premier League 12:30 kickoff, and let's say I've lost 500 quid. What I don't do then is bat away, trying to get it back. I go, right, that's where I am now. Look at my list. I'm not touching 3 o'clock, not interested. I don't want to get myself in a situation where I can do another couple of grand because I'm involved in too many games and it's all going wrong. But I've got a couple of methods. First half goal 1.5, as an example, one I've done recent videos and talks about, with 0.5 cover. Well, I can get in at nice prices now. So I can get in for small money, fairly. And if they go my way, then I'm actually going to get back to scratch for the day. Or if they go against me, I'm only going to lose a small amount. So I'm not changing my stakes in them because that's what it is, but the methods allow me to win more money if they are successful with low risk. So that's the difference of having a selection of methods. And that kind of is now how I manage my time and my day, and it is very successful. And I think that you've got to, if you're going to trade, most people haven't got a clue why they're trading, what they're trading. And they jump around too much. And I'll go back to March 2019. People who listen to these pods for a long time, one of the first pods I did was my story, and I talk exactly how I went from working into doing this. And I traded one method for 3 years and nothing else. Nothing else. Didn't have any other bet. Got up for over 1,000 days and did exactly the same thing. And that led to everything that's gone on since and where I am now and people listening to this pod and all these things. I don't think there's anyone on FTS who's done that. No matter how many times I've said it, I don't think there's anybody who's done it. Because they don't want to, because they want money too quickly, because they're not willing to learn, they're not willing to put the effort in, they're not willing to accept the pain and the aggro that comes with doing shit like this at times. And that's what I would say. I would still... If some people come to me who are really serious, I would still say to them, get a trading plan, get a trading list. And I would always advocate trading over fixed odds, personally. I think, you know, fixed odds I introduced in out of winnings later on. I would say I think it's really easy to win money trading football. And I don't say that lightly, but it's only easy if you go about it in the right way. So you get a trading plan, get a trading list. Really understand everything involved in it, what you're going to do, understand the market, how it works, what can be expected, what losing runs you can, understand your risk reward, understand what you can win, and then do not change it. And stick to it and operate in one, maybe two markets and nothing else. and convince yourself you can win. And then as those winnings grow, increase your stakes, perhaps put some into fixed odds, perhaps look at other markets. But give yourself the time, then over 3 years, you would see everything. I saw everything. I saw games. I remember going to Spurs in those early days. I remember going to Spurs and getting on a train 3-0 up in a lay the draw. Strong foam favourite, 3-0 up. And I got on a train at St Pancras, and it was 3-0 up, and I got to Stratford where I changed train, and it was 3-1 with about 5 minutes to go. Didn't do anything, didn't trade, let the bet run, and Stratford to Tottenham Hale is about 7 minutes. So by the time I got on the train, didn't check the thing, got on the train, got off at Tottenham Hale, and the game had finished 3-3. And that's what I say to it. You see everything. So we can lament our luck. It was 3-0 on 82 minutes, something like that. And it ended 3-3. And that's what happens. But you learn to live through all that, and you've got to accept it and almost partly embrace it. And it comes. But the key to all this is you can control your own variance to a degree. The market is going to do what the market's going to do. But unless you set yourself up to do what you want to do and what suits your life, but B, what you're mentally capable of, and take the money side out of it for a minute, actually enjoying it, this is why I'm doing it, and it will lead to money, and you get into that sort of situation. I firmly believe until you do that, you can dive around from me to Golf Profits to Big Man to Dio to CGM Bet to Bet Angel to Steve Williamson to Andy Richmond to Tennis Traders. You can dive around all of it. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to make money long term. You'll have little peaks and troughs, but you're never, ever going to be able to stand on your own two feet and make money. And I honestly believe that you've got to. I think these podcasts are invaluable. I think if I had something like this when I was starting out, I'd be much further. I've got a friend of mine who's a horse race gambler, and one of the things I say to him, lovely, lovely guy, millions. He's had absolute millions go through his hands. And I mean millions, far more money than I've had go through my hands. Millions and millions and millions. And he has got next to nothing. Got two properties. No, I say next to nothing. He got two properties. But from where he was to what he's got now, and it's all down to mismanagement of his life, mismanagement of his situation, and not knowing what he had and not knowing what he was doing. So he just got embroiled in making all this money, and Royal Ascot won 50 grand this week. That's great. But there was no real plan around it. A lot of it was other people's information. And when you look at it and break it down, and he says to me now, I wish I'd had this sort of structure back then. You know, he's literally just turned 48. I wish I'd had this sort of structure back then, where I went about it and put a structure in place first and then did it. He was diving away, living the high life, you know, Prada shoes, making money, nightclubbing, doing the whole lot. Great, and he's had a great life, don't get me wrong, but he still says to me, I wish I'd gone about it, process, and this, that, and the other, and forgot the money. And I think that's where most people fall down. You've got to forget, you know, I've said it so many times, forget what other people are doing, do it what suits you. And there's room for both. I understand people doing fixed odds, because I think if you've got little time, fixed odds is the way to go. Ignore trading completely. Get yourself a couple of fixed odds systems, but just leave them. Just go away and leave them. Accept that it will be a 2, 3, 4, 5 year process. But it's not inflate, you know, it's not impeding in your life in any way. Money you've got for betting, not money you can't afford. Money you've got for betting, put it aside, do it. If you're trading, you've got to be a bit more, I actually want to learn what this is about and do it, and stop jumping around and get really good at one or two methods. And I've given loads of methods. You know, I've done 13, 14 live sessions now. I've talked about different methods. I'll do loads. You've got to be adult enough to pick yourself out of them and say, that's what I'm going to do. And everything is there. Everything is there. Everything is in what I've done in the last 4 years since 2019. Everything is there for people to make money. And the reason that people don't is the person themselves. And until people accept that and set themselves up to suit what suits them, and accepts the game and understands it a bit more, then they're always going to struggle. And yes, people do build flawed systems because they overfilter and this and the other, but it isn't actually that difficult to build stuff that makes money. You've got the tools there in FTS Advanced, you've got the value columns, you've got Poisson numbers. We prove the higher the Poisson number, the more goals in games. You've got all this stuff at your fingertips that you can go about and do it, but you've got to get that set up to suit you. And for me, you know, people will take, you know, when I say to people, I don't trade all the time now, I pick my moments and I trade then. And Sunday was a good example. I won quite a bit of money Sunday by midday. So I didn't really look at the rest of the football. And people think I'm mad. But I don't then go back and work it all out and go, I would have won this, because I don't want to put myself through all that. I don't want to go, oh, I'd have lost it all there, then I would have won it all. I don't want to put myself through that. I'm in it to make money, and I know that my stuff wins over time. I know that I can pick and choose my moments. I know that how to manage myself if I'm winning or losing, and that's the bit you've got to learn. So I don't just keep going if I'm losing. I don't just sit there and, well, keep batting away. I'll then look, as I say, and see what have I got later on. These are high-risk trades. I don't want to take any more high risk. I want to get in some low-risk stuff. It's not going to cost me a fortune if that goes in. If it comes in, that's it. And so, in effect, I'm just managing. I'm stop-lossing myself. Where I think you guys get into a mentality, you're behind. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going. And that's, I say, you'll have your good days, but your bad days turn into destruction. And I want to get this sort of approach across. So I'm doing this with one of my groups at the minute. I want to get this sort of approach across, how you go about it, because I understand that saying it is easier than doing it. I understand that there's people who won't be interested in it, which is absolutely fine. But it all stems from having a list. And if you can restrict that list, you know, my list is can be 100 games on a Saturday, but I know enough about what's in them to choose the ones I want. But you've got, if you can restrict that list, and you do that by limiting yourself to one method or only a few leagues or only certain price points, if you can do that. So for example, if we go in and say I'm only going to trade in games where the home favourite's 101 to 1.99, over 2.5 is 101 to 1.99, and I've got a Poisson figure greater than 3, as an example, instantly now you're going to take out a load of games. So your list now becomes only 30 games. You don't need to look at the rest. Don't need to look at the rest. Right, now what are you going to do with those 30 games? Which market are you going to trade? I'm going to trade over 2.5. Okay, what are you looking for? Okay, well, I don't want to trade over 2.5 really short, so I want to trade it between 1.75 and 1.99. Right, okay, good. Right, now we've limited those games out. So now you've only got about 10 games, 1.7 to 1.99. Right, what are you looking for? I want value in the price against the model. Okay, which games have got value now? Which ones are borderline? Now you've got 5 games. Sit and do it. Live with the results. Not everyone's going to go your way. Live with your results. All you've done now is control what you're doing. You can control your variance. You've got everything now. You've slimmed it down. You've built yourself a little list that you can trade. You'll learn a lot about yourself, a lot about the markets, and you've got a much higher degree of success. Hope you enjoyed it. Please do leave reviews and things for the podcast if you like them. And I will be back with another one soon.